killings, abductions, and rape. Over the course of 2017, the UN documented over 12,000 reports of human rights violations in the region, but the UN fears the number of people affected by violence could be much higher, since many areas were too dangerous to reach.
BBC correspondent Imogene Folks reporting. Most of the violence is said to be ethnic and has continued after President Joseph Kabila refused to step down. Townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And today we are talking about something that I think it's a long time coming, so we're behind talking about a subject, and that is the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The MCU.
Exactly, which is now how many movies in?
Oh, goodness, a lot.
Yeah, and the latest one is Black Panther.
Yes.
We saw that opening night.
We are not behind on that.
We were not, and you know what? We were pleasantly rewarded for our belief that it was going to be good.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
They did such a good job with this movie.
And we will get to that.
Yes.
We will get to Black Panther, but I feel we should probably go in order.
Yeah. So the very first movie that kicked off the MCU was released May 2nd of 2008. So we are now 10 years into the MCU, and that was Iron Man.
I love this movie. I saw this movie so many times in the theater.
Yeah.
It is the pinnacle of what you can do, in my opinion, with a good comic book movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything you want out of it. Like, beforehand, you had the Spider-Man movies, and you had, like, Mary Jane Watson, who was always the damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. You had the Tobey Maguire. You had all of these, and it's just, no. And, I mean, I loved the first Spider-Man and the second Spider-Man. We just recently watched the third Spider-Man movie, which these are not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Right. I was a little behind because I had not seen the third Spider-Man.
You were okay with that.
Oh, good Lord. It was terrible.
When you have emo Spider-Man.
Oh, just so many things. Okay, but we're not talking about that.
Because it's not part of the universe. The reason I bring it up, though, is because this is what you can do when you make smart business choices.
Right.
And this being said, Marvel sold out the rights to Spider-Man to Sony, who made a ton of money, and they used the rights to Spider-Man to sell it. They got the money, and they put it into their own production company, and Marvel decided, we're going to make our own movies.
Mm-hmm. And
huge risk, huge gamble, and they went for it, and it won. They bring in Jon Favreau to direct this.
Oh, yeah, and it was amazing. I love that he was in it, too.
And Jon Favreau handpicked Robert Downey Jr. for that role.
Mm-hmm.
And at a time, you can look back now and go, oh my gosh, Robert Downey Jr. is amazing and he's great, he's perfect for it. At the time, you got to realize that Robert Downey Jr. also was a huge risk
because
he was just coming off of that whole spending time in prison,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the drug addiction, and he was finally got clean, and this was the break he needed, because before his big break to get back in was supposed to be Kiss Kiss Bang Bang,
mm-hmm.
which is an amazing movie.
Oh yeah, great movie.
And has nothing to do with the Marvel superhero universe. Well, we may have mentioned it before. It's great. If you ever get the chance to see this hidden gem of a movie, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is top notch.
Well, and it was directed by the same guy who directed Iron Man
3.
Mm-hmm. So
you can see the exact same
amount.
You can see the same type of comedic timing from Iron Man 3.
So if you liked Iron Man 3, you should absolutely see Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yes. But it kicked off Iron Man. What was great about it is it's an origin story that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man is one of the superheroes that was not like a Superman where we all know came from another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Not Batman, who we've seen his parents die a million times. So it was okay to have an origin story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And my favorite part of this is Pepper Potts.
Mm-hmm.
Gwyneth Paltrow. The character is everything you kind of want from a female in these superhero movies. Like, after coming from the Spider-Mans with the Mary Jane, who was always the damsel in distress, you had Pepper Potts, who was an integral part of the story. She was smart. She didn't get herself into trouble,
mm-hmm.
like all the other ones. The bad guy didn't kidnap her and then hold her hostage. Like, there's the part where she's trying to steal information from the bad guy to prove that he's the bad guy, and she downloads the jump drive onto his computer, and just when he's about to catch her, she's down in the lobby, and he's about to get her, and she she meets with Coulson from S.H.I.E.L.D., and she's like, he's like, we're supposed to have an interview. She's like, yep, yes, we are. Let's go interview right now. She got the authorities. She got protection. She was not kidnapped.
Like, she got herself out of the situation.
Yeah. So the end of the movie is not Tony trying to save this girl. It's him fighting the bad guy for... And what I liked about this bad guy, he's the bad guy for the right bad guy reasons. I'm tired of these...
There's a lot of those in this universe. There's a lot of Marvel villains that are villains that are very understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to absolutely get that with Black Panther because it hit on that really well.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man Homecoming the same way. You know, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But all of these villains, they're not just maniacal, you know, madmen. They are actually, they're real people that the world has put in these situations that they are now doing bad, but for not necessarily evil reasons.
Right. Well, Obadiah Stane, he's not trying to take over the world. He's not trying to blow up the world. He wants to make more money.
Mm.
And it's not in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kind of stupid way.
Lord.
No, this is, it's, he felt that he was.
He felt he was entitled to it.
Exactly. And he's there just trying to become more rich.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to blow up the world. He's not trying to enslave the human race. He's trying to make money.
Yeah.
And that's what's great. So everything about Iron Man was just great. The visual effects, the writing, the wit. It was just spot on. And this was a great inclination of what good movies were to come.
Mm-hmm. So the next one in the series came out June of that same year in 2008, which was The Incredible Hulk. This is kind of a shadowy area of the MCU.
You know, I think we should try to play some clips from the movies just to give us a feel of it.
Is it better to be feared or respected? And I say, is it too much to ask for both?
That's a very Michael Scott quote from The Office. Because I'm pretty sure that quote is from The Office. I mean, was also used in The Office.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
Man, there you go.
It's that sort of wit, what I love.
I also liked that at the end of the movie, he just says, screw it, I'm Iron Man.
Right? Like, who does that? Like,
yeah.
that was so brand new. And yeah, Jon Favreau directed that thing brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one was then...
So moving on, we have, released in June of 2008, we have The Incredible Hulk.
Which is, what's his name?
It was Edward Norton.
Right.
Yeah, this movie wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
So when you went in, you kind of thought it was this.
You don't understand. Something really bad is about to happen here.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones that is just bad. And the thing is that when you have so much infighting in a movie, you're going to get that. Edward Norton wanted to do it his own way, and he went against the directors. And so there's like these two different cuts. There was so much infighting in that movie, and it lost some of the momentum.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that it didn't bring down the whole MCU right then and there.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mark Ruffalo is such a great Hulk. I feel like he could carry a movie himself, but at this point, it's not necessary. I feel that we've gotten enough Hulk with the Avengers movies, with the Captain Americas, with the Thor. He played a pretty big role in Thor Ragnarok.
Right.
And so I don't think we necessarily need a Hulk specific movie.
Uh-uh.
But it would have been nice if they had had Mark at this point.
And you know what? In that one, he talks.
Yeah.
In the rest of these, he doesn't. I feel you need Hulk talk.
Yeah.
What's next? What's the next one?
Okay, the next one is May of 2010, Iron Man 2.
Really? So Iron Man 2 was before Captain America and all them, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Iron Man 2 is out of all the Iron Mans, probably my least favorite. There's some really cool effects in there, like the suitcase suit.
Yeah.
It's got some cool things in it, but I think out of the three, it's just, you could tell it was a sequel that they're trying to get out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the next one in May of 2011 was Thor. Now, I was a little behind on this. I just watched this movie yesterday. I had never seen the original Thor. And I really liked it. I was kind of under the impression that I wasn't going to like it very much, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You're big. Fourth bigger.
Yeah, it was fun. I really liked it. It was kind of interesting to see Thor and Odin kind of go at it because of the movies I've seen, he has a relatively good relationship with Odin. So I'm like, what, you know, he's all of a sudden banishing him out of Asgard. But I really liked it. And Loki is such an interesting character. You never really know what's going on in his mind.
Tom Hiddleston has played it very well, mm-hmm. and I'm very glad that they've kept him along for so much. I'm glad he's come back for so many of them. But yeah, Loki in the comic books is more of a, he's a trickster, and he's the movie Loki. He is so justified in some of the things he does.
Well, here, I have a question for you. So I always knew that Loki was adopted, but I never knew the circumstances of that until I watched this one. And it turns out he's actually an ice giant that Odin saves. Mm-hmm. So it's this little blue baby who's laying there crying. Odin picks him up, and then his blueness fades away, and he looks human. So, and then when he goes back to the land of the ice giants, when him and Thor go back, the ice giant grabs his wrist, and he kind of turns back into the ice. You know, his skin changes, and then when he lets go, he turns back human. What is it that keeps him from looking like he's supposed to? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm gonna assume it's the magic of Asgard.
But he's like that on Earth, too.
True. I don't know. Maybe it's just something that is now kind of like breathing. It's just a reflex. This is all part of a phase one of Marvel. Marvel's doing all the stuff in phases, right?
We have two more in phase one, yeah.
Okay, so what's the next one?
So the next one in July of 2011, so 2 months after Thor, was Captain America, the First Avenger.
Now see, this one is amongst the favorites of a lot of people. Like when ranked as the best movies in Marvel, this one's right usually near the top.
Yeah, no.
I don't agree.
No, me neither. It's toward the bottom for me. It was boring.
Yeah, I don't find it interesting. It's neat to see him as a scrawny guy and then being big, but it felt like too much exposition.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then they kept doing like the USO tours, and I'm like, I'm just bored. And I loved Hayley Atwell as Peggy Carter, and I really liked her in her own TV show.
Right.
And Agent Carter was awesome. I was just sad that the show got canceled before she could actually become the founder of S.H.I.E.L.D., because that would have been really cool to see.
But he's just great. He's the all-American guy.
I don't like bullies. I don't care where they're from.
I don't know. It
led to better ones.
Yeah.
Like, I get where they're coming from, and people are like, oh, it's all around. I don't know. I don't agree. Like, when you list the favorites, this is not mine.
Yeah.
And so, lastly, of phase one.
So the last movie of phase one, in May of 2012, they brought in the big guns. They brought in the Joss Whedon to direct and write Marvel's The Avengers.
This one is everything you wanted it to be. This,
oh, yeah.
This is what the Justice League thrived to be and failed miserably on. And the only reason why the Justice League had any good moments at all was because they brought on Joss Whedon to finish the movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It is. And this one, it's everybody. And you have Coulson in it. You have Maria Hill, who doesn't love Colby Smulders.
Right.
It's all so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything you want from these movies.
And they did a really good job with balancing all of the heroes. Like, they did a good job of giving, you know, Captain and Thor and Iron Man and all of them their shining moments, but yet they were still a team. And then, of course, you bring in the more minor characters of Black Widow and Hawkeye, which I didn't realize Hawkeye was in Thor until I watched it. He's in for a very small...
Oh, yeah, he shoots... Yeah, right there. Oh, yeah, very small.
But he's there.
I mean, what are we, a team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Which is Bruce Banner, the Hulk.
Well said, Hulk. Well said. Yeah, so that is phase one, Avengers Assembled, of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's so good. Like, all of it. It's a really good team. I really think that this whole... There's a movie coming out called Red Sparrow, which pretty much, I feel like they missed their opportunity. Marvel's now going to be behind the eight ball because this movie is pretty much the Black Widow origin without Black Widow.
Yeah.
It's the same story, but they're going to be planning to do a Black Widow movie. So now it's going to feel like they're copying this when really it's the other way around.
Yeah, I know I'm in the minority of especially our group of friends, but I don't really want a Black Widow movie. I don't really care about her character that much. Like, I don't feel that connected to her. I don't feel that she's very interesting. Whereas I feel that all the other Avengers are. You know, it's kind of too bad that she's she's one of the only women Avengers, but I just don't really think that she's all that interesting. So, you know the guy who has been there the entire time and who I think has a lot to do with the success is Kevin Feige. Because he's been a producer on every movie in the Marvel universe.
You know who else is there in cameos? Stan Lee. That guy's in his 90s, and he is in every one of those movies.
He is in every movie.
You gotta love Stan Lee. He must love that. Okay, so we're gonna take a break.
Yep.
So we've covered the phase one of the three phases of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. So when we come back, we will dive into phase two.
You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, March 16th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on 1460 AM KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. The summer's here and the heat is on. Projectiles fired from firearms are blamed for starting fires every year. True or not, we owe it to ourselves to carry a fire extinguisher while conducting live fire training during this dry season. Call NFI today at 530-999-1822 for all of your firearms training needs or visit us online at readingccw.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, and in 2000 I opened the House of Conscious Living Yoga. We offer a variety of styles attending to the needs of all students. Our faculty consists of yoga therapists and health professionals. Conscious Living Yoga meets each student right where they are, and safety is always a priority. We offer weekly classes, class series, and workshops in addition to private sessions. Visit ConsciousLivingYoga.com for the online schedule, costs, and other interesting information.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And we are talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes, the Marvel Cinematic. We already covered Phase 1.
Yep.
And now we're moving on to Phase 2.
Yes, so Phase 2 started in May of 2013. With Iron Man 3.
So 5 years after the original start, they both start with Iron Man movies.
Yes.
I think out of the three Iron Man movies, this one's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. This is a great movie. I love the villain in this movie.
The Mandarin?
I love the Mandarin. That he's just so...
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. He's intimidating, and he's evil, and he's conniving. And then when you meet him, he's just an actor. So great.
Well, because the Mandarin in the comics is an Asian guy.
Yeah.
And when you see that it's Ben Kingsley, you're like, what?
Well, he's dressed in
kind of
Asian-inspired, yeah. And his hair's in a little bun thing.
There's so many great quotes and dialogue from this movie. Like, this one's a great one.
Here's a little holiday greeting I've been wanting to send to the Mandarin. I just didn't know how to phrase it until now. My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward. So I've decided... that you just died, pal. I'm going to come get the body. There's no politics here. It's just good old-fashioned revenge. There's no Pentagon. It's just you and me. And on the off chance you're a man, here's my home address. 10880 Malibu Point. 90265. I'll leave the door unlocked.
Yeah.
I also loved Tony's journey in this movie.
Well, because this is after the Avengers.
Right.
And in the Avengers, he's the one that saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
As he's going up into the portal to stop the alien invasion, he gets into that other dimension, and it messes with his head.
Mm-hmm.
And so from being in the first two movies where he's this very cocky, his self-esteem is through the roof. He knows who he is. He's a rich playboy who's totally in control. And this messed with his head. And in this one, he's got post-traumatic stress like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts having panic attacks. It messes with who he is. And it's played up so well.
Yeah, and I love the relationship he has with the kid in this, you know, he lands in this small town and this kid who is an aspiring inventor himself kind of helps him get through his trauma. And it's just a great, great movie. It's just amazing.
I loved it. I love this one. So this one's my favorite of the three.
Oh, I would agree.
And so what's the next one in the phase?
So the next one is November of 2013, Thor: The Dark World.
Thor, The Dark World. Now, this one has been said that this is the Batman and Robin of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I feel
that is a huge injustice to this movie.
Yeah, because, well, even if it's not the greatest in the universe, to call it Batman and Robin is just a slap in the face, because that movie was terrible.
Yeah, when you have Arnold Schwarzenegger making ice puns every 15 seconds. Well, and yeah, no.
Not only that, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger got top billing as the villain in a Batman movie. So not Batman, mind you. George Clooney didn't get top billing. No, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I think one of the worst parts of that movie, and believe me, there are several to choose from, was the fact that Batman pulls out a Black American Express card that is issued to Batman to a cha-ching sound effect.
And the expiration date is forever.
It was just bad.
Oh, so many things were bad with that movie.
So we could do a whole show on how bad that movie is.
We're going to stick with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Thor: The Dark World is probably low on the list of good Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. It was, again, they're trying to get darker. The really cool part was the portals. I really like the portals how they use the portals and the teleportation back in between them. And that's okay. But the rest of it's kind of forgettable.
Yeah. My worry is that a couple of the guys who wrote that one also wrote of Infinity War. So I'm hoping that turns out okay.
You know, sometimes it's just delivery of directing. There's a lot of things that go into it. You can't necessarily think that the writing is what did it.
And this director of Dark World, Alan Taylor, hasn't directed anything else in the MCU. So after that, in April of 2014, was Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
I loved this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that I didn't really care for First Avenger, this one blew my mind.
And this one is directed by the same team that directed Infinity War. So
that's the one good thing about all the Captain America movies. Each one is very different.
Yes.
The first one is an origin story that is borderline propaganda
feels propaganda.
Yeah, patriotic propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
This one goes the complete opposite way, and it is a political spy thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Done very well. Like, this is Tom Clancy level stuff.
Yeah.
You don't expect it, because I feel that the first one was kind of colorful and very kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
Like, granted, you're dealing with Nazis, but like it's got a light
Nazis
feel. This one was super dark.
Yeah.
And it had so much undertones of political espionage, red herrings, and whodunit, all of it.
Mm.
Captain America: Winter Soldier was probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just wonderful. I mean, this is the one where Nick Fury has to go off the grid.
Mm.
He did.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. No, this one, so good.
Yeah.
You have Agent Peggy Carter's niece, who is now part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and she's part of S.H.I.E.L.D., because S.H.I.E.L.D. is not the underground thing that they did in the television show at this point.
Right, yeah, not yet. I think it happens at the end of this movie, when S.H.I.E.L.D.
they
has
tied
to go
in
down.
That was a really good part about
oh, yeah,
the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which counts as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So the Cinematic Universe is not just the movies. It also encompasses TV shows, digital shorts, and featurettes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's huge. It's so much more. But the tie-ins between the movie and the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ABC were amazing, to the point where if you watched the TV show, you only had the span of maybe 2 weeks to see the movie when it came out, or you would be behind on the TV show because events would happen to where they would coincide, and it was amazing.
The huge part about Winter Soldier was the infiltration of Hydra, and it took down this big old, the big ship and everything, and that was built into the episode of the TV show.
Yeah.
And their marketing strategy on that was amazing.
And that is something that Marvel has that DC lacks. Because DC doesn't have the movie tie-in with the TV shows, because they have different actors in their movies than they do on their TV shows.
Mm.
Because the CW has Arrow and The Flash, and while they are, in my opinion, I think Grant Gustin on The Flash TV show on the CW is a great Flash, and I really wish he could have been in the movies. But they take them as completely separate stories.
And I think that's where it gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
whereas Marvel,
Ezra Miller is a good Flash in the Justice League.
Like, he is.
His brand of humor in that is how the Flash should be, whereas Grant Gustin is a little more serious and a little more emo in a way. But yeah, absolutely. And they have, like, Coulson in both. It's the same characters. All the actors transfer over. So it feels like it's incorporated.
Yeah.
It's not disjointed like the DC's brand. The Marvel just, I mean, Agent Peggy Carter, you get her backstory, you get it all ties in. It's the same actress. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Now, doesn't she die at the beginning of Winter Soldier? Doesn't Peggy die at the beginning of that movie?
I believe so.
I think so.
But then, and then it's got Nick Fury.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
And, yeah, so Winter Soldier is the way to go. Like, I love this one.
Yeah.
What's next?
All right, next, in August of 2014, Guardians of the Galaxy.
This came out of left field.
Right.
This is one of the properties that Marvel really doesn't push. It's not like a huge, well-known. I mean, you got, like, Iron Man, you've got X-Men, you've got Spider-Man, you've got... Who's this? Who are these people?
Oh, that's why it's so great in the opening of that movie. He's like, I'm Star-Lord. Who?
Come on, man. Star-Lord.
But that's how everyone felt. Like, we know you're Chris Pratt and you're awesome, but what? Like, I had never heard of any of these characters, and they are amazing. Oh, they're just...
It's Marvel's Star Wars.
It is great. That was such a fun movie. It was done so well.
And I think that's why it was so good, is because nobody had expectations. There was no expectations of how this is going to go. Like, I'm sure there's probably some diehard Guardians of the Galaxy comic book fans who I don't know their theory on that, because I don't hear about them.
Yeah.
So the average viewer of these movies, you sit there and you go, oh, okay, like, I don't know who these are. So you watch it, and you're able to see it fresh. And that's what makes it so good. Because you have no expectations of, okay, how are they going to mess up the origin?
Right.
How are they going to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, that coloring is not right. You just go in going, this is fun. Yeah.
Oh, and Groot. Groot is such a great character in Rocket Raccoon. I mean, I absolutely...
Vin Diesel has cornered the market on doing voiceovers with little words.
Little dialogue.
Yeah, so he is Groot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also the Iron Giant in the animated movie, The Iron Giant, where he barely says, like, a few words. All that. So which one's next?
All right, so the next one, in May of 2015, they bring back Joss for Avengers Age of Ultron.
James Spader. Oh, as Ultron?
That was great.
Such a delivery. And this is where we first meet Claw, who is the bad guy for Black Panther.
Oh, he was in that?
That's where he loses his arm.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ultron rips his arm off.
That's right.
No, so you get a lot of these, and you meet Quicksilver, who is the same character that's in the X-Men universe, but that's the one that doesn't carry over. So you have two different versions of Quicksilver. That's the one place, because X-Men is owned by 20th Century Fox.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. But this is one of the ones I had my problem with this one. It started to get too big.
Yeah.
When you're lifting an entire city and you have a robot that is trying to take over and destroy the planet, this is where they start getting too big.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my one problem. I'm like, you need to scale this back. everything keeps escalating. Every movie keeps escalating more and more and more, and you have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be end of the world, galactic doom to sell a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, superheroes can just be superheroes that are isolated to one area.
Yeah.
They don't have to, oh, well, this thing happening in Sokovia is now going to, you know, make the entire Earth sink into a black hole type thing. Like, scale it down some.
I do like that we got the Vision, because I really like Vision.
Paul Bettany's great.
Paul Bettany is great, and I want to see him in more things, and so I was really excited that he came in for this. I mean, he's always been in these movies. From the very first Iron Man, he was the voice of Jarvis.
Right.
So it was really nice to see him be able to appear on camera. And Vision is worthy because he can pick up Mjolnir.
The look on Thor's face when he hands him the hammer.
I still love the joke. If Thor puts Mjolnir in an elevator and the elevator goes up, does that mean that the elevator is worthy?
Oh, I love that.
All right. So the last movie in Phase 2 of the MCU.
Which you think would be the second Avengers.
Which is not. In July of 2015, we got Ant-Man.
Ant-Man is the comedy we all deserved.
Yes.
You know, you sit there and you go, is Paul Rudd really superhero material? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
That movie was funny and it was interesting. There's not a big stinker in the bunch of the MCU.
No.
There really isn't. Like I said, Thor Dark World is probably right there near the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
As a personal thing, I don't really care for the Captain America First Avenger. And Iron Man 2 felt a little rushed. But those three, even listing those, are still really good.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man delivered.
You know why Ant-Man was so successful is because it was written by Edgar Wright and Adam McKay, who are amazing.
By the way, if you're going to deal with things that are small and shrinking, sight gags are important.
So when we saw Black Panther last night, I think, if you listen to our prior show, we talked about how much we didn't like downsizing and how much we expected of that movie that we didn't get. And one of the things is there were very few sight gags
mm-hmm.
of the fact that you're shrinking these people, so things should appear huge. There were more sight gags in the trailer for Ant-Man and the Wasp than there were in the entire downsizing movie.
Yeah, it's so good. And the fact that he's a small-time crook
mm-hmm.
who then becomes a superhero is kind of new to the whole genre. And it works really well. He's a guy with a heart of gold, and he's just trying to make it. He's got the daughter. Paul Rudd's delivery on all of his lines just makes you love the character.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Ant-Man, on a whole, it shouldn't work.
Hmm.
You sit there and you go, meh. But between the sight gags and Paul Rudd's delivery, you've got a winner here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great, great movie. And I'm so glad that he is also in the Avenger movies, that, you know, he's come into the fold, and we'll talk about his role and the fact that his part of Civil War was one of my favorite things of that movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that, and we'll hit Phase 3 in our third segment. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Some things in life you can just rely on.
like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
I'm tired of working for minimum wage. I'm ready to go back to school and learn a trade so I can take better care of my family.
Shasta College has more job training programs.
I've always wanted to go to college, but I'm just not sure I can afford it.
Shasta College has more financial aid.
I plan to attend a university, but would like to save time and money by taking my prerequisites close to home.
Shasta College has more guaranteed transfer programs at a fraction of the cost of a CSU, UC, or for-profit college. For over 65 years, Shasta College has been helping people like you get more out of life with job training programs and transfer-level college courses so you can save 2 years' worth of higher tuition costs. With Shasta College, it's all about more. More classes, more flexibility, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Make an appointment today to talk to a counselor about how you can achieve your goals. Call 242-7650 and start fulfilling your educational dreams. For more information, visit online at shastacollege.edu.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we've been talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, otherwise known as the MCU. Mm-hmm. And we have dealt with the first phase and the second phase. Now we're going to talk about the third phase, which is the current phase we're in.
Yes.
And the movies to come.
Right.
So what started off phase three?
So phase three started off in May of 2016 with Captain America Civil War.
Otherwise known to, amongst us and our friends, as the unofficial third Avengers film.
Right. I don't understand why it's called a Captain America, because it...
I mean, I get why, but they were... Because what happened was they started out with making it a third Captain America film, but then they realized that for that storyline, it required a lot more superheroes, mm-hmm. and because that's what it was about.
Yeah.
It was about two different factions of the superheroes on two different sides of an issue, which mm-hmm. was, do they sign this treaty accord where they then are monitored and they give up their rights and their secret identities... And it's a very politicized movie.
Yeah. And I think that the argument that they were having is a very valid one. Mm-hmm. And I can absolutely see both sides, that Captain America is on the side of, we need to have free reign so that we can help people when they need help. And we need no oversight because that will just get in the way of us helping people. Whereas Tony Stark is on the other side saying, no, 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 we are way too powerful as a group and we need to be regulated or bad things will happen.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a side.
It really is.
The bad guy in this one was amazing. In the comics, he's kind of weird looking. It's Baron Zemo. He's not what you would expect in this movie. He is so smart, and it's such a sad backstory for him in this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't read the comics like that, so I don't know if that's the same one. But in this, you felt for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and well, this is another one of those villains that isn't a villain just because they're an evil person. Like, he's out for revenge
uh-huh.
of what happened to him and his backstory.
In Sokovia. His family died in Sokovia during the second Avengers Age of Ultron.
And he sees the Avengers as the perpetrators of his family's death.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't want to destroy the world. He just wants to destroy the Avengers, and he wants to make sure they do it to themselves.
Oh, that was one of the best parts of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's interesting to see.
Yeah.
Like, the whole deal is interesting to see because he pits them against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he does. I mean, he even has the ability to find more Captain America-like soldiers, and he gets rid of them because he doesn't want more of them. He says
right.
he wants less of them, and so, yeah, oh, so good.
Yeah. But by far, my very, very favorite part of that movie is when they're at the hangar and they have their quintessential battle, mm-hmm. you know, where they are actually running towards each other in two lines, and it's like an actual war. Ant-Man decides to blow himself up, so rather than shrinking down, he gets huge. And just the visual of that was amazing, and that they didn't give that away in the trailers
mm-hmm.
was so cool, because we went down to Sacramento, or were we in San... No, we were in San Francisco for this, and we saw it in the IMAX theater. And so it was a huge screen, and all of a sudden he got big, and the theater, we saw it on opening weekend, and just everyone in the theater, oh my gosh, and we started clapping, and it was awesome.
And Spider-Man.
Underoos.
Underoos! Yeah. No, that is, oh, so good.
Yeah.
That one, yeah, I love that whole scene, and what a great Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
intro. It was great. Everyone who had seen the trailer was like, oh, well, why does his eyes move? What's up with that? And then they didn't realize that, yeah, Tony Stark built a suit, so it's actually going, it moves, it's all very mechanical and digital. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, so what was the next one?
All right, so the next one in November of 2016 was Doctor Strange.
This one was weird.
It was a little weird.
I mean, it's cool, but weird.
It was very cerebral.
It's like part Inception. It's like part Inception with the... with the world's moving.
Folding in on itself.
Very, yeah, mystical. It's very much out of the realm of everything else that they've done so far.
Yeah.
Really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved it, don't get me wrong. It's just so different.
Yeah.
And Benedict Cumberbatch doing an American accent. Feels a little weird.
A little weird. It wasn't terrible, but...
No.
But it was okay.
Yeah, I think it's just his voice is just so unique that no matter what accent he's doing, it sounds different. That one's great, and I love the fact that they got a female to play the Ancient One.
Mm-hmm.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton was in that.
She was.
She was also in Trainwreck.
She absolutely was.
So we're not going to get into detail of this, but you know what? If you ever get the chance to see the Amy Schumer movie, Trainwreck, Tilda Swinton is in that as well.
It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But... Tilda Swinton is in it looking, I think, the least Tilda Swinton I have ever seen her.
Absolutely. That's why I'm just shocked that that's Tilda Swinton.
I blew Chris's mind when I told him that that was Tilda Swinton, and he didn't believe
and
me.
And what I love about the movie, too, is the time travel aspects of altering space and time and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then the next one is?
All right. So the next one, in May of 2017, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Next, in May of 2017, we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
I really liked this.
So did I.
I'm Mary Poppins!
I was a little worried about it because the first one was so good, but so was the second one.
Yeah, it's visually stunning. The comedy's still there. Like, if you like the first one, you're going to love the second one just as much.
Yeah, and when I heard that, oh, well, you know, Star-Lord's dad is in it and he's a planet, I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, nope, that makes sense.
No, totally works.
And
totally works.
Drax the Destroyer has more lines in it. I think they realize that his bluntness and his honesty, because he doesn't get subtlety and undertones, mm-hmm. was good for comedy sake, and they really played it up.
Mm. And how adorable is Baby Groot?
Right?
Oh, my God. The whole opening of that movie, he's just sitting next to the radio dancing while they're all fighting the bad guy in the background. So freaking adorable.
Yeah, it's great. It's hilarious.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. And Kurt Russell,
mm-hmm.
what an addition.
Yeah, he did awesome. Great movie.
Which one is it? Is it Captain America Civil War? I think it is. The one, I know I'm going backwards, but where they age down Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. I think that was Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh,
where they make Robert Downey Jr. younger because he's doing that whole three-dimensional
memory
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, I sat there, my mind was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting there going, it didn't have that whole weird Tron Legacy or Polar Express computer thing. Sitting there going, this is amazing. I totally believe where I was like, did they film this like 25 years ago and they just were holding on to it, waiting for it? It was that believable.
Yeah, it looked amazing.
Yeah. And so after Guardians of the Galaxy 2, what do we have?
So then we have in July of 2017, Spider-Man Homecoming, which was by far the best Spider-Man movie ever.
This is what every Spider-Man movie should be.
I am so, so, so grateful.
Do you want to know my one complaint?
That they didn't show Uncle Ben dying. Because Uncle Ben dying, I have seen just as much as I've seen the Waynes getting shot down outside the movie theater. Cause, oh my gosh, stop. And this movie didn't do it, and it was, I was psyched.
Do you want to know my one complaint?
What is your one complaint?
Hot Aunt May. Seriously, though. Like, I love Marissa Tomei, don't get me wrong. But she is way too hot to be Aunt May. Because the ones from the original Spider-Man trilogy with the Tobey Maguire trilogy, that Aunt May is accurate to comic book canon.
Yeah.
Marissa Tomei, not so much.
She is getting older. She just looks great for her age.
Yeah, but still, like, come on.
No, but this was an amazing
movie.
That's
my one complaint. The rest of it's great.
This was an amazing movie with a bad guy that was awesome.
So good.
So good, because he turned to crime because his legitimate business wasn't working because of Stark Industries.
Mm-hmm. Because it was literally taken from him.
He was a repo guy. He was cleaning up the mess from the aliens from
Avengers.
Stark Industries came in and took it away from him, put him and all of his workers out of a job, out of an income, so he just had to do what he had to do.
And he uses the alien technology because they had one last mm-hmm. truck that they didn't take from him. They had a truck full of the alien tech, and so he has the Tinkerer, mm-hmm. which is a character, which a lot of people don't know, build all of these things, including his vulture suit. And so he's literally a scavenger, a vulture. He steals tech and creates more from it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bad guy for all the right reasons in this. It's wonderful.
And I love that he figured out that Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know why he did that?
Yes, but I'll let you do it.
Because I'm Batman. Because he's the world's greatest detective. He's Batman.
Michael Keaton, who was the original movie Batman.
But, no, it, great, great, great movie. I mean, it
worked on so many levels.
It was the Spider-Man movie I've always wanted.
It's the Spider-Man movie we all deserved.
Yeah.
And he's a young teenager in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right?
Finally.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't have, don't get me wrong, the first two Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies were good.
I liked them.
But this was what we needed. This mm-hmm. is what we deserved. An awkward Spider-Man just super excited by life.
Yeah. I didn't really like Andrew Garfield's as much.
Mm-mm.
His rendition of Spider-Man.
It was too stoic and just sad.
Yeah. But no, this was awesome. And I love that they hit the ground running because they already introduced him in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to go from there. And
no origin stories.
No
and
origin
guess
stories.
What? I wasn't lost.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you go to a Spider-Man movie in the year 2017 and get disappointed that you don't understand why he got his powers, then I'm sorry. This movie is not for you. Please don't come see it.
Exactly. Exactly. Tom Holland is wonderful.
Oh, he is. He's a great Spider-Man.
He delivers the emotion that you want from Spider-Man, that excited by life, I've got powers, yay me, and just trying to do the right thing. Oh,
and
so good.
Not only that, but he has a gymnast background. A gymnast/dancer background. So he's able to move like Spider-Man, too.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. That was a great pick.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Not a complaint from me on that. And then Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark Iron Man in that is so good.
I loved having Iron Man in the Spider-Man movie. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense with the suit. Yeah.
So good.
So good.
Okay.
All right. Next up, November of 2017, arguably one of my favorite movies in the MCU, Thor Ragnarok.
This one took a huge departure, especially from the last sequel, mm-hmm. which was Dark World. This one was funny. This was so funny. This was a buddy cop comedy.
It really was.
You've got Thor, you've got Hulk, and it's a buddy cop comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't even get me started on how great was Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. Love seeing Jeff Goldblum again.
And it's an interesting bad guy, and you can't see it because we're audio.
air quotes,
bad guy. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I really wish that they didn't put in the trailer that it was Hulk that he was facing.
Yeah, that you could tell by watching the movie that was supposed to be a big reveal. But you knew what was coming, and so it kind of took away from the drama of that.
And so I'm gonna spoil it now. Doctor Strange makes a cameo in it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're going to say, oh, we're going to point out the fact that there's this is a Thor movie with another superhero, they should have blown the cameo by Doctor Strange since it's so small.
Yeah.
And then it'd been like, oh, it's Thor and Doctor Strange. And then that whole reveal of Hulk coming out would have been huge.
Yeah, because we hadn't seen Hulk since Civil War. No one knew what happened to
him. Not even Civil War. It was...
Ultron. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So we hadn't seen him in so long. We didn't know what happened to him. And now all of a sudden he's on this planet that Thor just happens to land on.
That's the reason why Thor and Hulk are not in Civil War.
Oh, that's true.
Because they're off doing Thor Ragnarok.
That's true.
Yeah.
But no, and the visuals of this movie are just amazing. Oh, they're so good. And Cate Blanchett as his sister.
Brilliant. She's wonderful.
Brilliant.
You see why she gets nominated for a lot of awards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what's funny?
She sells evil very well.
So like I said, I just watched the original Thor just literally yesterday. And our buddy Travis was with me and he was commenting at the end of Thor... in order to save Asgard, Thor destroys the Rainbow Bridge. So he takes his hammer and he starts beating it, and it takes him a long time to break that thing. Well, apparently when they remade it, it wasn't as strong because in Ragnarok, people were falling on it and it was starting to break. So it lost some of its strength.
And then after Thor Ragnarok, we have...
So now we come to the latest release in the MCU, which just opened last week. Was Black Panther.
Yeah, last Friday.
Last Friday.
Oh.
Black Panther.
So good.
Amazing.
Everything you've heard about this movie, it's better.
So good.
I mean, the fact that it is, it's visually stunning.
It really is.
We went and saw it in the XD 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it.
Totally.
This was, somebody had posted that it was Marvel's first Shakespeare movie. And I totally buy that.
It was also Marvel's first Disney movie, because it was very much Lion King.
Yeah. It felt very much like it was a lot of the story was stolen from Lion King, but done very well. It's nice to see a story that has so many minorities in it, not done for exploitative purposes.
Mm-hmm. But and not only that, but the women in this movie are all warriors, and they all kick serious butt.
They are very important, and it's what I said about the original Iron Man, is that I like that they're not damsels in distress.
Mm-hmm.
Pepper Potts is not a damsel in distress, and this one takes it the next step further, mm-hmm. and these are warriors. Like, the place would fall apart without these women. Like, mm-hmm. they are what protect this country.
Yeah.
They protect Wakanda, mm-hmm. and Wakanda is such an advanced country.
I really want
to... It's hidden. Because,
I want to move to Wakanda.
Right? Exactly. It's hidden behind in the mountain of a third world country, and that's their facade. They don't want people to know how advanced they are because they don't want to get involved in the world's problems.
Mm-hmm.
They are technologically advanced, way advanced.
Mm-hmm.
They are strong. They're prosperous. They have resources that none of the else of the world has. And they don't want to be a part of it. Like, the rest of the world's warring. They don't want to, so they hide themselves.
Mm.
And they're protected by these warriors. The general is a woman. This whole movie is done so well. And the bad guy, Killmonger, played by Michael B. Jordan,
mm-hmm.
such a great bad guy.
Yeah.
He is so real. And, you know, I don't want to give too much away because I want people to get the opportunity to watch this, but he is such a real bad guy with a real problem, and it shows where he's coming from. Like, you get why he's doing this.
Yeah, exactly. It's not because he's evil.
Mm-mm.
It's because he has his beliefs, and
he's been wronged.
He's been wronged.
Yeah. No. Go see this. Yeah. This is still early enough. Go see this movie.
Yeah.
See it in 3D, because the 3D's worth it. All of it. Okay, so that is the last.
Another great addition to that, though, is that Martin Freeman is in this movie, playing an American. He mm-hmm. plays a CIA agent. So now we're just waiting for Doctor Strange to have a run-in.
With Agent Ross.
Because then you have Sherlock and Watson.
Exactly.
All right, so that brings us up to date on the MCU. But there's still more that are set to be released.
Since we haven't seen it, we're not going to give you any our opinions on these too much. But.
So in May of this year, we have Avengers Infinity War.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
In July of this year, we have Ant-Man and the Wasp.
The trailer was before Black Panther.
It looks amazing.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks great. In March of 2019, we have Captain Marvel.
I like Brie Larson. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, so that's going to be the first female lead of a Marvel movie, so that'll be really interesting. In May of 2019, we have an untitled Avengers film.
Well,
so
it's an Infinity War Part 2, technically.
Right. And then, so that is technically Phase 3. And then post-Phase 3, in July of 2019, we have the sequel to Spider-Man.
Okay.
And in 2020, we have the third Guardians of the Galaxy.
And you know they're going to make a second Black Panther.
Oh, yeah. So,
that's somewhere in 2020, we're going to have the second Black Panther movie.
Probably, yeah.
No probably about it. I would be willing to bet money on that. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't have something this artistically brilliant, and it's already pre-sold better than any other Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have that not get a sequel.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for us. So hopefully you enjoyed our take on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you're all caught up, and we'll have something great for you next time. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump directs the Justice Department to ban gun modifications like bump stocks that were used in the Las Vegas massacre.
I signed a memorandum directing the Attorney General to propose regulations to ban all devices that turn legal weapons into machine guns. I expect that these critical regulations will be finalized, Jeff, very